Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Hump Show means you can ask me anything, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what I did on Tuesday. It was not a banner moment, but it certainly was something that I believe many of you can identify with. Whether you own a home or you are in charge of taking care of a home or a condo, an apartment. So go ahead, producer Dave, ask me how my day was on Tuesday.
How was that Tuesday of yours?
Well, I can tell you exactly how my Tuesday was by telling you a short story. I woke up around lunchtime to use the bathroom, and I have this older toilet that I inherited with the house, and it's been giving me some issues in that it doesn't flush properly. And so I'm really careful with it. I baby the toilet, which sounds kind of funny, but I figured out how to be pretty careful with it. But I've noticed that it's acting up more often than, say, 3 months ago. I was hoping that I could avoid replacing said toilet until maybe a year had gone by. And I'm rapidly approaching 11 months since I purchased the house. So it's not quite been a year, but I was hoping to avoid that expense until a year had passed. So I'd been kind of doing whatever I could. I'd had a plumber in a couple of times, la, la, la. Anyway, back to Tuesday when I woke up thinking I was just going to be awake for maybe 30 seconds to use the restroom and then go back to bed. Alas, that did not happen because the toilet overflowed. I tried to flush it. It did not flush. And all of a sudden, I had a flood in the bathroom. OMG. And I don't even say that. It was the worst way to be jolted awake in the middle of the day when you do not want to be. And so I'm running downstairs. I have a stack of old towels that I use for the dog, grabbing whatever towels I can, laying them out on the bathroom floor, trying to pick up the rugs and get them out of there. Oh my gosh. It was such a disaster and such a mess. Anyway, so
escalated quickly.
Yeah, after I left it and after I put the towels down and went back to sleep, it took me about 45 minutes to get back to sleep because my adrenaline was rushing after that.
I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Seriously, it sucked. It cut right into my sleep, and Tuesday was supposed to be my day to recover. I had taken melatonin, and I was feeling and so I did get back to sleep for a little bit, but not for long because the dog and the cat don't think it's a good idea for me to sleep ever. So I got up on Tuesday afternoon and did whatever, walked the dog and got my coffee and then tackled the bathroom. I went ahead and mopped the floor twice just to be sure. Mopped the floor twice, cleaned the toilet, of course, went ahead and cleaned the downstairs toilet while I was at it, and then had to throw all of those towels and rugs into the washer and the dryer so that I could get back to square one with the bathroom. And then, of course, had to reach out to the plumber and say, I don't think I could put this off any longer. Oh, did I mention the toilet's no longer working at all? So it's just completely, if a toilet can die, this toilet has died. It is about to go to toilet heaven. So in my previous house that I had, I only had one toilet. This would have been an emergency. I am very thankful that the house I purchased has two bathrooms. And so the downstairs bathroom has a relatively new toilet. Apparently the previous owners were avoiding replacing both of them. Now I get to do it. And so yes, coming up this weekend, in addition to Masters and taxes, the plumber will be visiting to help me figure out what to do about the toilet. And yeah, there was a little bit of screaming while the toilet was overflowing, to be sure, because it just took me by surprise. It all of a sudden it was a flood. So yes, that was a bit of a entertainment for Grammy Helen when I called her. I said to her, Grammy, guess what I did today? And I said, my toilet overflowed. And she said, oh, no. I said, yes, the joys of being a homeowner. And I said, so I guess for my birthday, I will be investing in a brand new toilet. And she said, and I quote, well, that's one for the books. After she laughed, she did laugh significantly. She thought that was pretty humorous. So at least I got to make Grammy Helen laugh with my stories about toilets and mopping and cleaning and how my birthday present to myself will be a brand new toilet. I mean, you could laugh, but do you need to laugh that hard, really? It was a fairly traumatic experience. There we go. That's fake laughter. Thank you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you've had one of those situations recently, well, I can relate. I can identify. I did not cry, but there were moments where I felt like throwing things. But that wouldn't have helped clean up the bathroom or stop the flood. So I chose to be economical with my choices. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Also, if anybody has an idea how much a toilet costs, I have no idea. I've never bought a toilet in my life. Oh, quick spare toilet story, though. When I had my condo, this is going back to my previous network and the last state I lived in, Connecticut. My mother shows up. This was back when she still lived in Ohio. My mother shows up for a visit with a toilet in the back of the truck. Mom, what are you doing with that toilet? Oh, I thought you could use one. We replaced ours, so here we're going to give you this one. I was like, my toilets work fine. Why do I need a new toilet? Oh, well, because this is the Comfort Height toilet, and I think you'll like it better. So while they were visiting, she and Mike replaced my toilet. I didn't ask them to do that, and I know nothing about replacing toilets, like I said. So they replaced the toilet, and do you know, they thought it was a really good idea to put the old toilet into my garage. I probably had that place, I guess I had it like 5 years. That toilet sat in my garage the entire time. What does one do with an old toilet? And now that becomes my, I don't have a garage with my house and I do not have a basement. So what do? Put the toilet out on the street? I mean, does someone come and pick up an old toilet? I don't know what to do with the toilet. So if anyone has any suggestions about A, buying a new toilet, or B, getting rid of an old toilet, I don't really want it to be a yard decoration. I know some people use them as planters, but that's not really my style. I like my flower garden, and I do not want a toilet in it. So if you have any recommendations about how to get rid of an old toilet, I suppose I can ask the plumber, but it might be more entertaining to ask you. Maybe not. Okay, back to being serious. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, I suppose if you want to ask about toilets, you can. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, though I've just told you everything. And on our Facebook page, named after the show, and our phone number about toilets, about anything, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Producer Dave, are you ready for this segue? You ready?
Let's do it.
This one just popped into my head. It's brilliant. From toilets to the New York Jets.
Yes, that's that works.
No offense. Actually, plenty of offense.
All of it taken and all of it warranted, I think. It's a toilet, it's a dumpster fire, it's all bad all the time.
I don't like to do a lot of potty humor on the show because I feel like it's lowest common denominator. However, every now and then we do make toilet references when it comes to really bad teams. And the Jets have been there 2-14 last season, though I was right. They were not going to go 0-16, despite the fact that many fans thought they would. Nope. It's really difficult to lose every single game of the season. It's a new era, though. And you know me, if you listen to me, producer Dave knows I'm genuine when I say this. I do believe the Jets have turned a corner because the hiring of Robert Saleh brings legitimacy. Not only that, but an intensity and a leadership and the type of man, the type of head coach that guys want to play for. We know that already. Everybody who's played for him, most recently the DC in San Francisco, everybody who's played for him speaks very highly of him, and I cannot wait to see what he does to turn this ship around. I feel like it will be the same type of a new attitude, a new approach as what we saw with Joe Judge and the other New York team, the Giants. I feel the same way. Now, Ron Rivera has a lot more experience, but when he took over the Washington football team last year, what did we get? We got toughness. We got discipline. We got accountability. And all of those things will come with one Robert Saleh. There is Tom Brady again waving a lightsaber on Star Wars. I got to figure out. Something's going on because that's not fair. He's making me jealous, so I'm going to have to figure out what's happening. Anyway, he's no longer in the AFC East, so we'll put Tom Brady and his lightsaber aside for now. The Jets have turned a corner, and with their new general manager, Joe Douglas, along with Robert Saleh, they've been trying to determine what to do at the quarterback position. We now know, pretty obvious, their strategy is to let Sam Darnold go, get whatever they possibly can for him, and draft a quarterback number two overall. Though, Joe Douglas would have you believe that's not set in stone. And I suppose technically it's not until they do actually draft a quarterback at number two. But the big question, the question everyone wanted answered, when Joe Douglas started to field questions about Sam Darnold on Tuesday, pretty easy question. We all want to know, why trade him away?
Look, I mean, there's a lot of things go into why this didn't work out. And ultimately, we have to look forward and keep bringing in high-quality players, high-quality people.
He told us absolutely nothing. Ultimately, there's a lot of reasons why this didn't work out. Former Jets wide receiver Robbie Anderson, who is now with the Panthers, has a reason why this did not work out. And it just so happens that he was doing an interview on Good Morning Football on Tuesday, and he's not shy about telling you why he believes it did not work out in New York.
Me personally speaking, I just think Sam kind of his development was not correct, you know, with the Jets. I think he didn't have the best support cast around him and the best coaching to get him to his full potential.
Adam Gase obviously was fired before Sam Darnold was traded, and they brought in a new coach that they believe in, of course, as much as they can before he actually starts coaching. But I agree with Robbie Anderson to the extent that the coaching was lacking, the leadership was lacking, and then it was constant transition. Around Sam Darnold, going back to when he was drafted number three overall in 2018, it's been a lot of change. And what do I tell you in sports? Constant change equals constant losing. If you're always in a state of flux, you can never build a winning tradition or a winning culture, because everybody does things differently. Every head coach, every coordinator, they've got different systems, different voices, different playbooks, different rules, different ideas. They evaluate differently. I know in my business, and it's similar to sports, it's so subjective. One program director can think I am the worst talk show host on the face of the earth. There are probably some who think that. There are some listeners who think that. The next program director can believe that I am worthy of this job or a better job or a raise. It's so subjective. Everyone hears me and hears the show differently. Well, everyone evaluates quarterbacks and places a premium on particular skills differently. And in addition to that, everyone evaluates the big picture differently. There's a lot of talk, a lot of speculation that if Sam hadn't landed with the Jets, that if he'd landed with a more stable organization that had pieces around him, we would have seen more of what we saw with him at the end of his college career. limited as it was. But he still dazzled. It's one of the reasons why he ended up as the number three overall pick, despite how young he was. Was he 19 when he got drafted? But coming out of USC, there was a lot of promise there. And so if he hadn't landed with the Jets, things could look a whole lot different. But every general manager, every head coach, every owner, and the owners clearly liked Sam, they all evaluate differently and they all place a premium on different skills and talents. And in the Jets' collective opinion, there was a better option out there. And we believe now a better option that will come to them with that number two pick in the draft that happens on April 29th.
Based on the decision we made yesterday, you can kind of see the direction we're heading. When it comes to pick two, obviously never say never. You know, like I've said to you guys in the past, I'll always answer the phone.
So Joe Douglas is telling us that, okay, I'm going to continue to field phone calls about that number two overall pick. But the issue now is that if you trade away Sam Darnold, you don't have a quarterback. So that here's a potential phone call they'll listen to. If the Jaguars are interested in trading down from number one and they could get Trevor Lawrence, or maybe if they're, and this is something that we don't really know, but maybe if they believe that the Niners, of course the Niners already moved, so they're not likely to move again. But if they believe that the one or two teams behind them were not after the same quarterback that they are planning to draft or that they like the most, then maybe they would move out. But they have to draft a quarterback because they don't have one. Not to mention, when you get a young quarterback out of the draft, it saves you money for the next, especially if you draft him in the first round, it saves you money for the next 5 years. So that's another reason why a lot of franchises like young QBs, because it's economical. It allows you to spend more money on the other positions and build depth at other positions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. This has been a consistent theme from both Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas. They've got nothing but love for Sam Darnold, even though he's no longer a Jet.
Sam's a first-class human being and a pro's pro. And, you know, I really respect Sam, and, you know, I'm rooting for Sam, and I know he's going to be successful.
Joe Douglas, the general manager of the New York Jets, not really explaining why they traded Sam Darnold or why they gave up on Sam Darnold, why they believe a rookie quarterback is a better option. Many people assume, you know what happens when you assume, many people believe that the Jets are hot on Zach Wilson and that he will be the next quarterback. And there's always something to, hey, this is our guy. We brought this guy in with our new head coach, right? So Sam Darnold wasn't their choice. He wasn't their pick. I do believe that Sam has a bright future if he can get some real solid coaching and training, if he can get a confidence boost and know that his new team, his new coaching staff, his new players believe in him. And I do think it helps that Robbie Anderson, a receiver that he played with his first 2 years in New York, is now in Carolina. And Robbie said that he thinks Sam's going to love it in Charlotte.
Well, I think Sam going to enjoy it a lot. You know, I personally enjoyed it a lot, so nice city, it's peaceful, and you know, just the energy, like, you know, just being out there on the practice field, you got the city skyline, and the weather's not, it doesn't get too cold, but it's not too hot, like, you know, it's a comfortable place, and I think you're definitely gonna find yourself at home and be comfortable out there.
But it also helps again that there is a familiar athlete on the roster. There's someone that he's thrown touchdowns to. As for Robbie Anderson, he played 16 games with Carolina last season and caught over 1,000 yards, a few touchdowns in there too. So I think it helps. Now, I happened to catch, this is before Jeopardy started on Tuesday afternoon, I happened to catch Kurt Warner on NFL Network. He was asked about Sam making the move to Carolina, so we'll let you hear him coming up next. And then also, Robbie has, you know, has one more. I thought it was a significant soundbite from Good Morning Football about why it didn't work with Sam in New York. So a little bit there on Sam Darnold. And while we're not going to get a whole lot from Joe Douglas, I believe that Robbie's right. And the general consensus is that it wasn't a good match in New York, though that is not all on Sam. What happens now, what happens next, remains to be seen. We don't even know who's starting in Carolina, unless, of course, the Panthers end up moving Teddy Bridgewater, though there's not a huge market out there for starting quarterbacks now. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, now all of a sudden, lots of toilet tweets. Oh my gosh, that is a great hashtag. Can we please use that as a feature on the show? Toilet tweet.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Obviously, there is an unknown factor when you're talking about rookies and young players. But we feel good about the type of person we're going to be able to bring in.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jets general manager Joe Douglas. Sounds like they've already got a particular athlete in mind. And though he says he will take phone calls and he will listen to what potential teams have to offer him for that number two pick, you don't talk about a specific player like that. He says they're confident in the athlete they're about to draft if you really do plan on making a move of any sort. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And I do want you to hear from the attorney who's representing the women who filed the lawsuits against Deshaun Watson. Tony Busby did another press conference. This one was really professional, actually. This wasn't an Instagram type of a thing. It was a professional looking and sounding press conference. And for the first time, two of the women have not only revealed their identities, but are speaking out personally. And so we'll get to that after the update at the bottom of the hour. But really quickly, Kurt Warner, just happened to catch this. I was getting some work done on my laptop and I was waiting for Jeopardy to start so I could see Aaron Rodgers on day number two. And I had the NFL Network on and Kurt Warner was doing an interview. You know how much I love Kurt. And he was asked about Sam Darnold and the potential there in Carolina.
I've seen a lot of guys make that jump from college to pro and were great college players and never really progressed in the NFL. We've seen the opposite. Average or just above average college players that come in and do really, really well in the NFL. And so who is Sam Darnold? What is he going to be? We still know he's very young. We know that he hasn't played up to what we thought his potential was. We know there was a lot of issues in New York around him as well. And so, but I think we all sit here and we've talked about it for months now. Nobody really knows. Nobody knows how much of, you know, the struggles were the Jets, how much of it was Sam Darnold, what he can really be at this level. And so I'm fascinated by, you know, his situation down in Carolina. I think he's got some better pieces and a little more stability offensively with what they do there. But, you know, you also have a Teddy Bridgewater who, you know, played solid football last year. And you need to have a distinct upgrade at the quarterback position, you know, or at least that's what that Carolina was looking for. And so I'm excited to see, can Sam be that?
I'm excited too. Well, if Kurt Warner's excited, I'm excited. Just kidding. No, I really am excited for Sam. As much as I know he wanted to stay in New York because he told us repeatedly that he wanted to be part of the success in New York after having been there when the franchise was at rock bottom, I believe that this fresh start will be good for him mentally, physically, and potentially really good for him professionally. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. Let's talk to Derek, who's in Colorado. Hi, Derek.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
Right on. I was just going to give you a tidbit about getting rid of your toilet. And the only reason I know is we just did it ourselves.
Oh, okay. And, was it super fun?
Huh?
Was it super fun? You really enjoyed it?
I hated it. But
great.
Running water and indoor plumbing is, not my forte. But this was super simple. We call it Habitat for Humanity, and it's called the Restore Division.
Okay.
And they said just clean it up. As long as it doesn't have any chips in the porcelain.
No.
If you get it cleaned up real good, they'll come and pick it up for you for free, and you just donate it to them.
What?
And for real. And they'll use it to put it in a restore house for, someone in need for Habitat for Humanity. No joke. It's, really cool.
Well, what if the toilet's broken, though?
Then you might, I don't know.
So why did you replace your toilet if you didn't need to?
Because we wanted the upgrade, so you could this thing could flush a bowling ball now. So
let's hope no one puts a bowling ball into your toilet.
I don't know. I got two kids that are pretty feisty. So never know with them.
All right. Well, I'll check that out. I don't know if the toilet still works. I guess the plumber will let me know. It doesn't work for me, but I'm just ready to be done with messing with it. But that's good to know there are places where I can donate it. I appreciate that, Derek. Thank you so much.
Yep, no problem. Have a good night.
You too. Carlos is listening in Florida. Carlos, welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you very much, Amy. I've been listening to you for quite a while and really enjoy your show. You do a great job.
Thank you, sir.
I couldn't help but...
laughing? Yes, it's fine.
About the toilet story. Well, let me tell you something. About 10 years ago, I bought a new toilet. Bought it home, took it out of the box, and I looked at it, and it didn't have a seat. I said, what, are you kidding me? So I called the store, and I said, sir, this new brand new toilet that I just paid $250 for doesn't have a seat.
Oh.
And he responded, the seat is extra. I said, are you kidding me? Now, we're talking about the thing that goes up and down. You understand what I'm saying?
I know what a toilet seat is. Yes, sir.
So I had to shell out another $30 or $40 to pay for this.
So the moral of the story is make sure that there is a seat before I leave the store. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Only in America where you can buy a toilet, but it doesn't come with a seat.
No,
correct?
I'm sure that's not true. I'm sure there are other places. And maybe it was just the store you went to. I've never heard that before. I've never bought a toilet myself. My mom is one of those toilet snobs where she likes to have new toilets. So they replace their toilets at least 3-4 times in the last 20 years. And so I don't recall that she's ever mentioned not having a seat. But maybe that's... maybe that's common knowledge to everyone else, Carlos, just not you and I.
Can I tell you where I got it, or is that no good?
Oh, yeah, you can tell me.
I bought it at Lowe's.
All right. Well, I'll check it out. My mom gave me a Home Depot gift card for Christmas, so I just told her, Mom, I know now where the Home Depot card is going.
Thanks a lot, and thanks for taking my call. Have a great evening.
You're welcome, Carlos. Good to hear from you in the Sunshine State. Ah, it's always shining somewhere, right? Just not on me on Tuesday. No, that's not true. I made my Grammy laugh with the story, and I talked to my younger niece who was celebrating a birthday. She fit me in between pool time and a nap and eating sushi and watching a movie with her friends. She had time to call her old auntie, though both of my nieces still call me Auntie Amy, which is really cute. And she's excited. Her gift, I had to order it, and it didn't show up at my house yet, and it's actually something she loves makeup, so it's a really pretty Vera Bradley makeup case, and I'm going to stuff it with baked goods. That's why I was baking over the weekend, is so I would have some, not for producer Dave, though he benefited from it, was to have some baked goods to stuff into her birthday gift. So she was very excited that her birthday gift was still going to show up next week. Anyway, I appreciate all of your kind words about Grammy Helen. Thank you. Any day that I can talk to Grammy Helen's great, but celebrating her 99th birthday is pretty freaking amazing. All right, coming up, you will hear from one of the accusers of Deshaun Watson herself. She not only is willing to be identified, but has also spoken out publicly, along with Tony Busby. Still ahead, we've got Justin Thomas, who's spent time with Tiger Woods lately. And we've got an update on Russell Wilson. What? Yeah, Russell Wilson Remember the guy that you were all ready to trade to a bunch of different franchises about a month ago? Ha! He's still a Seahawk, in case you're wondering.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We certainly take them very seriously. The allegations or what's been discussed are certainly troubling. And organizationally, that's not something that we can condone, those types of actions. But again, we'll let the legal process take care of itself. And however it's going to unfold, we'll certainly comply and do what we can to help and facilitate a resolution for everybody.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Still the only thing that we have heard publicly from the Texans front office in the wake of the now 22 lawsuits that have been filed against Deshaun Watson in civil court, alleging various levels of sexual harassment, sexual assault, in one case, even what would be considered an act of forcible sex act that was I messed that up. It's not a topic that I'm extremely comfortable with. A forcible sex act that he was alleged to have made another young woman do. So the details are out there. You have probably read them or heard them. We were talking about it a little bit on last night's show, the conspiracy theory that's out there that this is all something fabricated or created by the Texans. I do not agree with that. I can't tell you if all of these women in the civil lawsuits are truthful and are completely 100% accurate, because I was not there at these massage therapy sessions. But I do know that it's now a situation that the Texans cannot ignore. It's also a situation the NFL cannot ignore. And it is going to move forward into the court system, regardless of what happens from this point. Now, we had spoken to our CBS Sports Radio legal analyst, Amy Dash, going back a couple of weeks, and she mentioned that one option is for these lawsuits to all be consolidated into one against Watson. And she talked about the various ways that other evidence might be included, though there isn't physical evidence. But she talked about text messages and communications, and we're already starting to see and hear about some of those messages on Instagram as well as on Snapchat, which is apparently the primary way that Deshaun and his massage therapist communicated. So there is some evidence, but a lot of it's going to be circumstantial. And I hate these types of situations where it's he said, she said, and where the attacks are made on the credibility of both parties. It's cringeworthy, and it always cuts right through my heart. Just because I hate it when the best strategy is attacking the other party. But it does appear as though the two sides have lined up. But it is going to be primarily about testimony. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Tony Busby did another press conference, a public press conference, as opposed to a statement or an Instagram post on Tuesday, and he had one of Deshaun Watson's accusers along with him.
You have heard from the Watson team that they want to know the identity of these victims, that maybe they don't even exist, that we've been trying to hide their identity. Well, that is not true. Ashley Solis came to me and told me a very troubling story about Deshaun Watson. I spoke to her many different times. I discouraged her from coming forward. She was the first individual who filed a lawsuit. It is because of her bravery that we are here. She has been a pioneer.
Ashley Solis is the first accuser, as Tony Busby mentions, and one of the only ones at this point who's been identified. There are a couple of other names that are out there. There is another young woman who was not present at the news conference on Tuesday. Her name is Lauren Baxley, but she wrote a letter to Deshaun Watson. She said it was recommended as a way of healing by her therapist. And that was read by a lawyer who works with Busby. So a female attorney who was there with Busby and Ashley Solis at Tuesday's presser. And so she just wrote her thoughts and wrote about the fact that Deshaun Watson, in her experience with him, that all the boundaries were blurred and that his actions toward her were sexual and degrading and that he crossed a lot of lines. So that was the heart of her letter. But Ashley Solis chose to be there in person and chose to speak out. And she's really emotional. And at times it's a little bit difficult to understand, but I do want you to hear what she had to say.
I am a survivor of assault and harassment. Deshaun Watson is my assaulter and my harasser. Deshaun Watson assaulted and harassed me on March 30th, 2020, in my own home, doing what I love most, massage therapy.
She gives the date as March 30th, 2020, which was roughly a year ago, obviously right in the height of the pandemic, which I think is interesting. We remember the stories of the athletes who were trying to find parks to run in. Many of them were working out with weights in their garages. At that time, most of the United States of America was in a quarantine of sorts, though many people were working, obviously. There were people who were essential workers. I didn't realize massage therapy for the athletes was part of the essential worker category, but she said Deshaun Watson visited her in her own home. Now, for the most part, we'd heard of Deshaun either meeting with the massage therapist in various office buildings or even in one case in his own home. This is the only one that I've heard of so far who it actually happened in her home, which again is scary to me. And I don't know if that's where she does all of her appointments. I don't know enough about Ashley Solis to get the big picture, but I just, to me, that it seems like such a dangerous thing to do, not just because of Deshaun, but because that's your own personal space. And I know for me, with my professional career, I never would invite someone that I work with, unless it was a friend, but I would never invite a colleague or an athlete that I cover to be at my home, because that just, talk about boundaries, that kind of blurs all the boundaries and erases all the boundaries. And to me, it's not safe when it's someone that you don't know. So she gives the date as March 30th, 2020, and then she goes on to talk about the impact on her life in the last year.
I can no longer practice the profession that I love the most without shaking during a session. My hands shake whenever I place them on a client, and I've had to cut the session short. If you only knew how heartbreaking that is to me. I got into massage therapy to heal people, to heal their minds and bodies, to bring peace to their souls. Deshaun Watson has robbed me of that. I suffer from panic attacks, anxiety, and depression. I'm in counseling as a result of Deshaun Watson's actions. I hope he knows how much pain he's inflicted on me emotionally and physically. And I hope he knows how much pain he's inflicted on these other survivors.
Ashley Solis, one of the accusers of Deshaun Watson, the first to file a lawsuit. And she talks about panic attacks, anxiety, depression, and also the fact that it's affected her ability to do her job now. She says that she can't put her hands on a client without shaking. That's her perspective. Again, whether or not you believe her, that's your prerogative, but it's obviously not about whether or not you and I believe the accusers or the testimony that are given in these civil lawsuits. It's about what happens with the authorities and the court system moving forward. Now, there was a response from Rusty Hardin, Deshaun's attorney, after Ashley Solis gave her account and talked about the impact and was really emotional. Hardin released this statement that Tony Busby's firm reached out to Deshaun and then Hardin, but reached out to Deshaun to ask for a settlement of $100,000 before the lawsuit was filed. Now, Hardin, of course, is going to call it hush money. That was the term that he used. He said that this was an attempt to settle the allegations the month before he filed, meaning Busby filed the first lawsuit. And you may remember the only time we've heard from Deshaun Watson about these lawsuits was right after the first one was filed. That goes back, what now, 3 weeks, maybe longer? We've heard from Harden. We have not heard from Deshaun. And Deshaun referenced the fact that these were baseless allegations and that one of them had reached out to him, or that Busby had reached out to him, to ask for a six-figure settlement. That is, we now know, a response to the Ashley Solis request. The Deshaun Watson camp did not agree to that request for a settlement, and she went ahead and filed the first lawsuit. So that was Harden's response, is that this is the woman who tried to extort money from Deshaun Watson before she ever filed the lawsuit. Again, you can interpret that however you want. But Ashley did talk about the money side of this.
People say that I'm doing this just for money. That is false. I come forward now so that Deshaun Watson does not assault another woman. And I come forward now in the hopes that no other human being will assault another in the future. I want to prevent this type of conduct. I come forward now to bring change in our society. I'm seeking justice, not just on behalf of myself, but for all survivors.
Ashley Solis and Lauren Baxley, two of the 22, have now identified themselves, chosen to be identified, and have spoken out in some form of a public manner about their lawsuits and their accusations against Deshaun Watson. And so it's a slow process. I don't know if there will be other lawsuits. Busby has indicated that he's got at least 10 other women who have reached out to him. The NFL is monitoring and is trying to work with Busby and the women to get some type of a sense of what is happening and try to figure out if there's truth and if there's authenticity, and then to figure out what to do about Deshaun himself before the season arrives.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.